All right. Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. If this is your first time with us, I just want to echo what Cindy said. We're just really excited to have you. My name is Chris High. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And right now, we're in the middle of this conversation called GPS. And we're looking at how God can become the loudest voice, how God can become the most dominant voice in our lives as far as our direction is concerned, really all of our lives, but specifically in this conversation, as far as our direction is concerned and those decisions we're making about where we're going to go next and what our life is going to look like. And last week we began this conversation, we talked about how God wants to be that voice, how as a father, he wants to be able to come alongside of us and to be able to help us, to be able to navigate the terrain, to be able to help us to be able to make our way through those detours that we see and that we encounter so often in life. And we began by looking at how we can begin to raise his voice. How if this is going to happen, if he's going to lead us to this life that is most abundant, this life that he created us for, then his voice has got to literally rise in our lives. That voice would be the most dominant voice, the loudest voice, and everything that we do as we continue forward on this journey. And I told you last week as we came out of that, that this whole conversation is going to be about how we do that. We know that we have to, but now how do we actually do that? And I think from the very beginning, it's really important that we understand that while we're working towards this, we live in a culture that is not necessarily conducive to it. And so we understand that this is crucial, and we're working towards this idea that God would become the most dominant voice. But I think it's really important for us to know, as we're working toward that, and where I want us to spend our time today is an understanding of the fact that we live in a culture that is not necessarily conducive to that. Because we live in a culture that is fast, and we live in a culture that is unbelievably loud. And so we're constantly, as we said last week, being bombarded by these messages. But we're not just being bombarded by these messages, we're being bombarded by them in a way that's very loud, just in your face. And it's all around us. We live in the middle of a culture that is unbelievably loud and unbelievably fast. And anytime you're trying to listen, you know that loud and fast aren't necessarily conducive to that happening. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against loud or fast. I love loud, I love fast, right? I love getting in my car and cranking the radio. We had an intern who was with us for the last couple months, and he would kind of drive me to the different locations throughout the day. And it kind of surprised him the first couple weeks because he would get in my van on Sunday mornings and turn it on, and it would just be blaring. The music would just be blaring. He's like, Chris, what do you do before you get here on Sunday mornings? I said, I love loud, man. You got to understand. And it used to fit in with the cars that I drove, because I used to drive nice, like, sporty cars that you would expect to have really loud music. But now I drive a minivan, so it doesn't fit quite as well. But I'm still going to enjoy it. So now I have even more windows that I can put down and turn up that music and just blare it. I love loud. And I love fast, too. I love fast. I love living life fast. We talked about that just a little bit last week. I want to know that I'm using my life to the best of my ability, that I'm getting everything out of it that I can. And so I'm constantly, all right, what's next? What's next? Where are we going next? What's this going to look like? I love loud. I love fast. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I understand it's not conducive to listening. And I think for all of us, it's important as we continue on this conversation of seeking God and his voice and allowing that to be our GPS, allowing that to be the voice that guides us and directs us, that we live in a culture that is not necessarily conducive to that happening. I don't think the answer to that, at the same time, is that we need to live lives that are just simply quiet and slow. I think when you look at the life of Jesus Christ, he lived a life that was unbelievably loud, unbelievably fast. Especially when you see the last 3 years where we're really kind of shown what his life looks like. He's surrounded by crowds all the time. Everywhere he goes, people are flocking to him. His life is really, really loud. And his life is really fast. He's going here, he's going there, he's visiting these people, and he's just constantly on the move. So I don't think the answer is to disengage the culture in which we live. I don't think the answer is that we need to just all move to Montana and set up in this quiet, you know, secluded lifestyle. I don't think that's the answer, because that's not what Jesus Christ did. But as we live where we live, and as we live the lives that so many of us live, that are so loud and so fast, I think we need to understand the impact that that has on our ability to be able to hear God. And I think when you look at the scriptures, you see an example of people, or examples of people, who lived loud and fast, but knew how to be able, in the midst of that, to still hear God. And for God to still be that voice that's leading them forward, guiding them, and directing them. And the same can be true for you, and the same can be true for me. But we have to pay attention. And I think there are a few steps that we have to take in the process. There are two things that I want for us to kind of build this conversation on today, and understandings, first about God, and then also about ourselves. And just to help us, to bring us to the point where we are completely convinced that this is something that we need to do in our lives, that this is something that we need to address in our lives. The first reason why I think this is really, really important is this. God often communicates in whispers. I want to take you to a passage. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 19. And in this passage, God is having a conversation with a man named Elijah. Now, I love this passage for all sorts of different reasons. And one of them is what we're going to see about our conversation today. But then also, the other reason why I love this passage in particular is because I think it illustrates perfectly something that we say over and over again here at Hoboken Grace. And if you've been here before, or even today as you've been here, you've heard us say this, that we don't care where you are in your journey. We don't think it matters what you've done or where you've been, or even where you are right now as you're pursuing God. We believe that God is pursuing you. And I think when you come to this passage in 1 Kings, you see this illustrated, because this man that we're about to talk about, Elijah, he's actually in a situation where his faith is beginning to unravel. And he's walking out of a situation in which he experienced God really, really powerfully. But as he walked out of that, all of a sudden, all of the obstacles in the world around him and the people who were against him began to get to him. And his belief about whether or not God could protect him, or whether or not God was really with him, or whether or not God could take care of him, begins to unravel. And it's amazing, because as you read the story, and if you get the chance, I encourage you to read through this entire story. We don't have time this morning to be able to read through the whole thing. We're just going to read the beginning of his conversation with God. But if you get a chance, read through the whole story, because I think you see that when he's at his highest point, when he's completely trusting God, he experiences God in this unbelievable, powerful way, because God is there. But then as his faith begins to unravel and everything begins to fall apart and there's all these doubts, God's there too. And just as an aside, really quickly, for some of you, you walked in this morning and you're at that low point. And you walked in here this morning, and maybe for you, this is like a last-ditch effort. Because you're just beginning to give up on this idea that God cares about you at all. And sometimes in those moments, there's this lie that because of the fact that you're doubting, because of the fact that you don't have the faith that you once had, or because of the fact that you've been asking this question about God for quite some time, but you haven't found the answer, there's this lie that because of that, that God doesn't want to talk to you. And that you have to somehow get your faith back, or you have to answer those questions. You have to resolve that in and of yourself before he's going to come to meet with you, before he's going to pursue you. That's not the story that we see in 1 Kings. Elijah's faith is unraveling. And in the midst of it, God pursues him. And if that's you this morning, I want you to know something. God is not waiting for you to get it together. God is coming for you. He wants to meet with you. He wants to talk with you. Just like he does with Elijah in this moment of weakness. See, we believe it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, where you're headed, that God is pursuing you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you and guide you. So how do we begin to hear that voice? How do we begin to allow that voice to influence us and help us to move forward? I think a key to that is to understand what Elijah experiences here, that God often speaks in whispers. 1 Kings 19, verse 11 through 13 says this. It says, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by. And so God says, "Listen, Elijah, I want you to go out to the edge of this mountain, and then I'm gonna answer this question that you've been asking. I'm gonna engage you." And so as God engages him, listen to what happens. It says, "A mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" Just this soft, gentle whisper. "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And then as the story continues, he engages Elijah in this beautiful conversation about direction and the plan that God has for him and what he wants to see happen in his life and how he is going to protect him and how he is going to care for him. It's a beautiful picture of who God is, but it's also an important picture of how God communicates. Because as we're on this journey and we want God to become that voice, one of the things that we have to understand is that God often communicates in whispers. He's not going to communicate over the noise, but he calls us out of the noise to be able to speak to our hearts. And I think for a lot of us, we think that if we're going to hear from God, it's going to be that he has this loud, booming voice that comes in over top of all the noise and all the distractions. And it's just going to be this magical moment where we hear from God, because that's what we see in the movies. Right? That's the way it works in the movies. I don't know why it is, but every movie where you see God speaking, it's like this really loud voice, right? That's over top of everything. It's got this kind of echo to it. It always has an echo. I'm not sure why God echoes, but he does. And every movie that you see where God speaks, this is what it is. And so I think that we have this idea that hearing from God is going to be this loud voice that's over top of everything around us. But then you begin to look at the scriptures and you see this God who, while there are certain times where that's the case, oftentimes it's just a whisper. And I think for many of us, we think that God isn't talking to us. We think that God is talking to other people, that God is, you know, talking to my dinner group leader, or you hear me talking about how God has spoken to my heart or my soul. You say, "Well, God, you know, communicates to pastors, but he's not actually talking to me." And I wonder if the mistake that we've made is not, or the lie that we've bought into is that God isn't speaking, when the truth is, it's that we haven't actually been able to create the space or the time to be able to hear the whisper. I think it's important for us to be able to realize that God often communicates in a whisper. And if you're going to hear a whisper, you have to be able, you have to know how, and you have to have it be a priority in your life to step out of the noise so that you can hear. The second thing is just something very practical, and we understand this. about ourselves. We don't necessarily live in light of it, but we understand this about ourselves, and that is this. You're very easily distracted. You may think that you're not, and we live in a culture where we think that we can have all sorts of different things happening and that we're not going to be distracted. And so we study with music going, and we've got Facebook over here, or we're trying to work, and we've got Twitter up on our screen, and we've got all these different things happening, and we think that we can pay attention in the midst of the noise. And for a lot of us, I think we want to be able to hear what God is saying. We want to be able to hear.
He spoke the earth and sky to
fall. Kind of like you want to be able to hear what I'm saying, but you don't have a clue what I'm saying.
Who says this?
And we laugh about it in this situation. But the crazy thing is, for a lot of us, that's exactly how we try to hear God. And so we pick up our Bible as we're on the way to work on the subway train, and there's all these different things happening around us, and we think, okay, I'm gonna be able to hear from God. And maybe for some of you, you really can't, because that's, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But for a lot of us, we may be able to read the words on the page. But if God speaks in whispers, if often he comes to us with this whisper to our hearts, the chances of us being able to hear in that setting are very low. And when you look at those who were unbelievably close to God, when you look at those who listened well to God, who heard from God over and over again, you see in their lives this very consistent practice, and it's a practice of turning down the noise. They, over and over again in their lives, went outside of the distraction and the noise on purpose in order to be able to listen to the whispers. You see it in the life of David. Over and over again in David's life, he's going outside of the city. He's going away to be able to listen to God. When you look at Paul's story, when Paul begins this journey with Christ, Christ takes him to the wilderness so that he can listen to the whispers. And then I think the greatest illustration that we have of this is Jesus Christ himself. And as I said earlier, Jesus Christ lives this unbelievably fast, unbelievably loud life. But in the midst of it, he does something over and over and over again that I think we have to learn from if we're going to be able to experience God and experience the Father the way that he did. I want to read to you a passage. It's from a book called The Celebration of Discipline. It's written by a guy named Foster. And in it, he talks about the discipline of solitude, of finding these places where we can turn down the noise, of finding these places where we can escape the distraction. And in it, he begins to walk us through all of the different ways that Jesus Christ did this. I want to read this to you. It says, he inaugurated his ministry by spending 40 days alone in the desert, Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Before he chose the 12, he spent an entire night alone in the desert hills. So before he chooses his disciples, he goes away. Luke 6, 12. When he received the news of John the Baptist's death, he withdrew from there in a boat to a lonely place apart. Matthew 14, 13. After the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, Jesus went up into the hills by himself. Matthew 14, 23. And it just continues. Mark 1, 35. Mark 6, 31. Luke 5, 16. Matthew 17, 1 through 9. Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Over and over and over again, as Jesus is living this fast, loud life, he makes it a point to be able to get away. He makes it a point to make sure that consistently he's turning down the noise. He's escaping the distractions so that he can hear the whisper of his Father. And for you and for me, if we want to be able to walk this journey that we talked about last week, where we are living the life that we've been created for, living it to the
fullest and allowing God to be that GPS, that voice that's leading us and guiding us, that we're not depending on ourselves, but we are depending on Him, that I think that we have to learn from Jesus Christ in this. And this must become a priority for us, that we are finding those places in those times and creating those places in those times for us to be able to escape the noise and to hear, to truly listen and to hear from our Father. As you walked in today, you received a program. Inside that program, there's a notes card in there. If you just take out that notes card for me really quickly, and I know for some of you, you're like, oh, I'm not going to do that. Just help me out for just a second. Just take out that note card. Here's what I want you to do, because this is one of those conversations where I know if you don't walk out of here with a plan, you're going to completely forget everything that we talked about by Tuesday. Someone will ask you, what did you guys talk about on Sunday? I have no clue. So I know if this is going to actually happen in my life and your life, then we have to have a plan. So what I want you to do is this. I want you to write down three places that you think that you could actually find relief from the noise and the distractions. Three places. The reason I want you to write down three is because you're going to go to two of them and they're not actually going to work. So you need at least three, because you think some places are going to be free from distraction, but then they're not. So for example, Jesus Christ is teaching his followers how to be able to listen, how to be able to pray. And so he says to them, when you pray, go into your closet and close the door. And he's trying to help them to build this into their life where they have solitude. Now, clearly, he's talking to 12 dudes, because you don't tell a woman to go into a closet to escape distraction. It never happened. He's clearly talking to all guys. And so sometimes you think that a place is going to work for you, but it's not. And you end up getting there and you're like, wow, I'm unbelievably distracted. I suffer from mild OCD. My staff might say I have extreme OCD, but I like to believe I suffer from mild OCD. But what that means for me is that I can't listen well to God in my house, because my house is filled with things that I need to do. And so the idea that I'm going to be able to sit down and listen without distraction is crazy. It will never happen. And I've tried it several different times throughout my life. It does not work. And so I don't spend that time at home. I actually am more likely to be successful at a Starbucks than I am sitting in my own home. And for all of us, it's going to be a little bit different. And it's going to take a little bit of work. It's going to take a little bit of experimenting to figure out, okay, where can I really go where this will actually be quiet and actually be free of distraction. I remember walking through this in college, and I was trying to figure this out, and one of my mentors was pushing me hard to be able to find this place where I would be free of the noise and the distraction. But I lived in a dorm, and in a dorm there's literally no place that is quiet or free of distraction. And I kept trying to find the right place, and I couldn't. Finally, I figured out, if you want to be able to find complete quiet in a dormitory, wake up at 6:30 and go to the laundry room. No one is there. Like, no one is there. And so for a year, I spent that time that I was spending with God on a consistent basis, I spent that time in a laundry room. Because it was one of those places, it was the place where I could go, and all of a sudden the noise was gone. And my experience of God, what I began to hear from God, it wasn't just that it like doubled from before. It was astronomical, the difference. Because I found a place where I could do what you see Jesus doing over and over and over again. Where I could turn down the noise and shut out the distractions and hear that gentle whisper of my Father to my heart and my soul. And so I challenge you, write down three. Put some thought into it. Where would it be? Where could I go? How would this work? I remember when I first moved to the city, I was trying to figure this out, and I lived in an apartment with several other guys, and so there was no quiet there, and as I said earlier, it doesn't really work that well for me at home anyway, so I was trying to figure it out, and then one night, I was walking home after an event. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was walking from Central Park down to 49th, where I lived at the time, and I'm walking this route, and as I'm walking, I realized that there is literally no one on the streets, and so I began to spend the hour between 12:30 and 1:30 just walking the streets of New York and just put my headphones on and take my Bible with me and just listen. It was unbelievable. It was totally free of noise, totally free of distraction for me. I was sharing this with the speaking team, and they said, yes, and it's also unbelievably dangerous, and so don't suggest it to other people. And so take that as you will. And it's going to take a little bit of work, and you're going to have to be creative with it. But as we said last week, God has this unbelievable story that he's telling. And you and I, we get to be part of that. And he created you to be part of that. He created you for something, not on accident, but for something. And he wants to lead you to that. He wants to be able to guide you and direct you so that your life will be as full as it possibly can be. If that's going to happen, then we have to be able to hear him. I think when you look at Jesus Christ and those who've come before us, you see that they understood, if I'm going to hear him, then I have to create space where I can turn down the noise and escape the distraction. The other thing that I challenge you with those three is to keep them local. And the reason I say that is because oftentimes I'll have this conversation with people and they'll say, well, I think that I could really experience God at the beach. You know, down in South Carolina, there's this beautiful place on the beach. I've been there before. It's just really quiet. Okay, but then you're only going to be able to hear from God like twice a year if you're lucky. So keep it local, someplace that you can go hear, somewhere that you can begin to take that time, whatever the time is that you're spending with God right now, but to be able to take that to that place so that you can begin to hear. Sometimes I think we think that God is magically going to speak above the noise, but that's not the story of the Scriptures. The story of the Scriptures is not a God who's just magically communicating above the noise and the distraction, but a God who is stepping into your life and my life and calling us out. Come away with me. Come away with me. And sometimes that may mean that you go on a trip and you are going down to the shore or whatever to be able to spend that time with him. That's awesome. But if you can bring that into your consistent experience as well, the way that Jesus does, I'm telling you, your ability to be able to hear is going to explode. And for some of you, for the very first time, you're going to be able to decipher that whisper as God is speaking to your heart and to your soul. And this whole time, you've thought that he's just being quiet. And the truth is, it's just been drowned out by all the noise and the speed of life. As you go into this week, take that list with you and decide today that at least one time you're going to step outside of the noise, step outside of the distraction, and listen for the whisper of your Father and allow him to lead you. You don't have to walk this journey alone. You don't have to bear the responsibility of the direction. He wants to lead you. Let him. Listen. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray today for those who are here who are struggling with this idea of whether or not you even exist. And Father, I pray that as we walk through this, that for all of us, that we wouldn't look at this as something that you do later on in your journey, but that no matter where we are in this journey, that we would take this challenge, that we would do what we see your son doing, what we see these great men and women of faith throughout the scriptures doing, that they're taking this time to be able to step outside of the noise. And whether that's stepping outside of the noise to be able to ask where you would have us go, or how you would have us spend our lives, or how you would have us to be able to function in our job, how to be able to share you with our friends or our family, or whether that's simply for those who are here who don't know if you're real, to step outside the noise to simply ask that question. To say, God, if you're real, I want to know, and I want to listen. Father, we want for you to be that voice in our lives. And we know that you are pursuing us and that you want to be that voice in our lives as well. And so as we go out of here today, we go out committed, committed to listening, to making that a priority. Thank you for how you lead us. Thank you that you love us and that you pursue us, that you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.